Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go. Hockman and Crowder simulcast extravaganza. We got a loaded potato for you here. We got the magic show for you. Magic Johnson. Big bad Magic Johnson.
What has he done?
This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Got a lot of stuff to get to this afternoon, which we are going to begin. But I wanted to start, you know, we talked a little bit in the last hour about trying to glean some positives from the Dolphins' third game as opposed to the first and second games. We asked Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald about it. Did you see Armando Salguero's column in the Miami Herald?
No.
So his column, the title is Positives, Progress. This Sunday might have been the Dolphins' worst so far this season. So He takes an opposite track. Now, I know a lot of people think that Armando Salguero is negative on most everything anyway. I think you thought that even when he was playing, right? I mean, that's kind of his thing. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah.
But he writes, I'm just going to read you a little portion. If your temptation is to think things are getting better because the Miami Dolphins didn't get completely blown out, but rather were just moderately dismantled in Sunday's game, then you've fallen under the tanking spell, and I suggest you stop reading right now. Because Sunday was a disaster every bit as disheartening as the last one and the one before. Truth is, if it weren't for a sliver of hope new starting quarterback Josh Rosen offered in the first half of the 31-6 loss to the Cowboys, the case could be made that Sunday was the worst the Dolphins have had this entire season. And he says the reason that this Sunday is so bad, we saw problems that reach beyond a substandard roster being overmatched by a superior opponent. Sure, we saw the Dolphins unable to match up, but we also saw a compilation of misjudgments and mistakes and misdeeds come to life, and those go beyond young players doing wrong things. Those suggest trouble is coming in the future when everyone's expecting the gain portion of this short-term pain for long-term gain trade to begin. The reasons I'm saying this, writes Armando Salguero, it's a long list, but here are the highlights. Begin with the fact that Minka Fitzpatrick's first 60 minutes in Pittsburgh were better than any singular game he had with the Dolphins last year or in the first 2 weeks this year. Fitzpatrick, playing safety for a team he's practiced with only three times, had an interception, a quarterback hit, a pass defensed, and he forced a fumble. We also know that he got thrown to the side like a piece of garbage.
Like a baby.
He generally played the way the Dolphins told us he'd play when he was drafted by them with the number 11 overall selection in 2018, except he didn't play like that in Miami. And under this coaching staff, he hated being with Miami because he wanted to play a position or two, and this staff stubbornly wanted him to play four more, and that caused him to ask to be traded. So yeah, this coaching staff had a good player in their grasp and couldn't make it work. Which leads me to Xavien Howard. He's also a very good player, and he just turned in the worst performance of the season and one of the top three worst games of his career. Assigned to shadow Amari Cooper, the Dolphins cornerback gave up two touchdowns. Cooper caught six passes for 88 yards and those two scores. On one play, Cooper put a double move on Xavien that basically left him in his wake. We've all seen it a million times by now. That was the first play of the game for the Miami defense. So it wasn't like Howard had struggled all day yet. And yes, Howard eventually manifested his frustration more openly when he started trading shoves with a Dallas receiver, delivered one shot too many, and was flagged for unnecessary roughness and got ejected from the game. That, by the way, saved our bet. Because that allowed Dallas to cover, so I was very happy.
Appreciate it, X.
So not a great day for an otherwise excellent player. Again, this is what Armando Salguero writes. And taken as one snapshot, it's not something to worry about because everyone has a good or bad day. But taken as part of a total portrait, the picture I'm seeing is worrisome. That picture is of good players not playing to standard or not playing in Miami anymore. That picture has Teddy Bridgewater going off as the New Orleans Saints starting quarterback when the Dolphins didn't think Bridgewater was worth starting quarterback money last offseason. That picture has Jakeem Grant regressing because his first three games this year have included two drop punts, a drop touchdown, another drop passes. Those three games, meanwhile, have lacked any high five and route to the end zone moments like we saw last season before he got a contract extension from the team. That picture has Devontae Parker being no better with this coaching staff than he was with the previous one, which is to say he's inconsistent, except that the Dolphins decided to pay him more this year than they had in any previous season. That picture includes the Dolphins being outscored 68-0 in the second half of games so far, which doesn't speak well of Miami staff's in-game adjustments. Goes on and on. What do you think about that? That's the yin to the yang, where we try to look at Sunday's game and say, well, they were in it in the first half, could have even had the lead at halftime, had things gone their way. Armando says, not so fast. They're not doing it on the field, and if I start to pick apart what they're doing off the field, it ain't working either.
But the thing with Minka, I think that's irrelevant to the whole conversation. Like, you got rid of him, you know why you got rid of him. I don't care what he does with the Steelers or with the next team he goes to. That's not, it's nothing to do with Miami.
And it's also not answered until you find out which pick you get from Pittsburgh and who you take with that pick.
So we know that he is a player. When he got rid of him, we said he was a starter in this league, and I call him a Pro Bowler. I think Minka's good enough to go to the Pro Bowl with his versatility, being able to play a slot corner and go back to free safety. Slot corner is very difficult for him to be one of the highest rated last year. We know he's a good player, but he didn't fit what they wanted him to do down here, and they got a pick for him. They got a first round pick for him, and they moved him. The thing with X is interesting because you start getting frustrated when you're a good player on a bad team. If you saw Amari Cooper's catch, the double move is obvious. X was looking back for the ball. He did the – it's a clock in your head as a DB, just like a clock in your head as a quarterback, where one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, the ball's about to come out. So I'm going to try to cheat back and see the ball delivered. It's not coming out because my man Dak Prescott's making a sandwich in the backfield waiting for somebody to get open. So that starts getting frustrated, and I said it yesterday, and I really believe his struggling play is what contributed to him getting kicked out. Like, he doesn't have a shoving match. When's the last time you saw X get all excited with somebody? After you get whooped for 88 yards and two touchdowns, now you get mad.
And I would give it a little context, too, in that – and I know Armando points out he shut him down earlier in his career, but – Amari Cooper is one of the best receivers in the league. So
yeah, he's about to get paid. They brought him in for this.
There's not a ton of shame in, on a bad defense, getting shown out by Amari Cooper. Like, you know, it's not getting shown out by Preston Williams. No offense to him.
And you got it. But you do have to keep your head. I went back and looked at 07. We were 1-15. I don't know if anybody remembers this. Jason Taylor still went to the Pro Bowl. On a 1-15 team, he still had, I think, 11 sacks. Like, yeah. JT still played well in that season and went to the Pro Bowl as a top player. So the frustration will get there. And defensive back, the rush and coverage, you know how they say this is a coverage sack because the guys cover so well that it's 5 seconds and somebody just gets to the quarterback. That was a coverage sack. There are lack of rush,
like the opposite,
receptions.
The opposite of effect.
Well, I've said this a number of times. Deion Sanders can't cover somebody for 7 seconds.
Right.
It's just too long. Double moves. In 7 seconds, you can do a triple move.
The receiver knows where he wants to go.
And the quarterback's looking at him, and the DB's looking at the receiver. So the lack of pass rush does make it frustrating for a cornerback. But to be there 10-6 after making the mistakes offensively, that's why to go straight at the defensive side of the ball, I think was off from Armando, because the defense held them to 10 points in the first half. Now, we know, and we talked to Beasley a second ago, I criticized the adjustments. It's happened with the Patriot game, 13-0, 10-6 Dallas. You come out with a good game plan, you have 6 days to make a first half game plan. At halftime, you have 30 minutes to make a second half game plan. the Dolphins coaches do not do it well in that 30 minutes. They've had a decent game plan with the 6 days of preparation. Those 30 minutes, they might have stole those Sudoku damn puzzles from Adam Gase.
Sometimes you got to do some Sudoku.
Sudoku at halftime because
sometimes you got to do Sudoku.
The second half of the Patriots and the second half of Dallas is terrible. So I'm with the adjustments. This is not a coaching staff, and I believe they're hindered by their roster, but the adjustments, what they're doing, what you see them doing. Pollard and Zeke running for 100 yards apiece, 220-plus yards rushing. Like, that's embarrassing stuff. But to say that, you know, X is bad game, I'd say, because this is not going to happen consistently to Xavier Howard. Jakeem Grant, I wasn't a fan of paying him anyway. I don't think he's a good receiver in the first place. Y'all call me a size as some people do. I don't like little guys. I do not like no little tiny dude running around with these grown-ass men. But good players can still look good and play good, like the example of JT in 07 on a bad roster. So that was a bad game out of X. I don't think it's the worst thing, and let's look at the negative on top of the negative, but that's what Armando does. I say it all the time. That's what he's done his whole career.
But there are some interesting texts to me, because a lot of people like to hate on Armando Salguero, but some of the texts, Mondo drives me nuts. With that said, he's not wrong here. Next text, I never agree with Armando, but I agree with him on everything he said. Hashtag facts. And somebody texts in, I cannot believe how bad Howard looked covering Cooper. Yeah. That was bad. Let's get to headlines here quickly with Alejandro Solana.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. UCF has added non-conference home-and-home series with Boise State and BYU to its future schedules, the school announced today.
All right. That's a big announcement from UCF.
UCF.
Glad you led with it.
According to an article written by Forbes, Deion Waiters has dropped over 20 pounds, is healthy, and ready to make a serious impact this season. Apparently, he's been working out with the same trainer that LeBron and Dwayne Wade worked out with as well.
All right, there you go. Just underneath the UCF breaking story, Deion Waiters lost 20 pounds, according to Forbes.
If I work out with him, will I be great at basketball?
No, you have no chance.
Okay.
Anything else, Solana?
The Brooklyn Nets are expecting to be without Kevin Durant for the entire 2020 season, according to ESPN. Tonight, the Marlins will play the New York Mets in New York. First pitch is at 7:10. The Florida Panthers host the Lightning for their final preseason home game tonight as well. Puck drops at 7 p.m. And finally, a court in Frankfurt, Germany just ruled on a case, and they concluded that hangovers will now count as an illness so that you can miss work with.
Oh, well, look at that. So maybe Jalen Ramsey, if he worked, where was that story? Frankfurt. Well, if he played for the Frankfurt Galaxy, it used to be what would they call that league?
The Euro League.
Was it Euro League?
No, European something.
Football League.
They changed the name of it, though. NFL Europe.
If he played for Frankfurt, he could call in sick, and it's fine.
That's ridiculous, though. A hangover? Like, I have a sick day because I got too drunk.
Where are we as a society? What's the weather?
You know where we are? To start the update with UCF Waiters trainer and KD injury.
Yeah.
It's a slow day in heaven, yeah. Man.
But it's really not, though. We're in the middle of the beginning of football season. All right, what do you got? You got weather, Solana? What happened in 1983?
Weather is brought to you by Hialeah Park. Right now in South Florida, it is partly cloudy, 86 degrees. Tonight should be a very nice and cool night. The low should drop to 73, and no rain is expected at least until 8 p.m. tonight. You can visit Hialeah Park Casino every Saturday to win your share of $10,000 in giveaways, drawings all day long, and it's free to enter. Visit HialeahPark.com for more information.
All right, I know Crowder's going to tell you about the National Gridiron League. Here in the next segment, we're going to talk with the president and commissioner. I'm delighted. I'm very excited about this. Joe McClendon, president and commissioner of the new National Gridiron League, which Crowder's going to tell you about here, but I love a startup league, so I'm really anticipating talking to him with some excitement.
This is perfect for us, too, because we love football and the startup leagues. This is a new indoor football league with 12 teams. They have an East and Western Conference. They're throughout the United States. The inaugural season will begin March of 2020. Minicamp starts in January. There's a championship. It's called the Gridiron Bowl. It's in Biloxi, Mississippi. Mississippi. It's in August of 2020. There'll be the two best teams in the league are going to play for the Gridiron Bowl Championship. The league will provide an opportunity for players and coaches to show their skills and advance to higher levels of competition, and they're going to find all the untapped talent throughout the nation in this minor league alternative to the NFL. The NGL, they've already signed talented players ranging from Division I five-star recruits to high school graduates with no college experience. If you're 18 and older and can ball out, you need to go play in the NGL. There's an upcoming player symposium and player tryouts. The info is at www.nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. That's nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. Learn about the league, contract structure, league rules, league and team dates. I know in the next segment we can get all this
information.
We're
going to get all the info.
And there's also national and regional sponsorship opportunities available. The NGL will be heavily involved in the communities that they are in, with emphasis on health, education, and youth sports. Go to info@nglfootball.com if you want to do some sponsorships, if you want to get involved with the NGL. This is awesome. This is great. We have the president, commissioner coming on next, but www.nationalgridiron.com will get you all your information. I am so excited to be a part of this.
All right, we are going to talk to him next. Joe McClendon, and if you think you're a football player that's got maybe a professional future, or you know someone that does, you're definitely going to want to be listening. We're going to talk about a brand new league next on Hockman and Crowder.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready.
All right, now I told you I'm excited to talk to this guy. I like a couple of things. I like mall food courts, and I like startup leagues.
Yes.
I get intrigued by them.
And I love football.
And you love football. Joe McClendon, as I mentioned, is the president and commissioner of the new National Gridiron League. The National Gridiron League, or the NGL, is an indoor football league. It's going to have 12 teams that play primarily in the Southeast and Midwest, and it's going to be an off-season alternative to the NFL and college football, and I guess it'll compete with arena football. Yeah. And this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the National Gridiron League is having a league symposium and tryouts here in South Florida. It's in Lauderdale Lakes. Now, if you're going to want to try out, go to nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. And Joe, I am told, is there. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how you doing, huh?
What makes someone decide to launch a new indoor football league? Like, this seems like a very daunting task.
It's very daunting. But at the same time, when you really have a passion for the sport of football and just improving the situation for young men who have finished up their college careers, but looking for opportunity just to continue to play out and end the game on their terms.
And Joe, like the style of play, the field, the number of guys, the rules of the game, how is it different from the football we're used to watching?
It's going to be a little smaller field, 50-yard field, about 28 yards wide, 8 men on the field at a time. But at the same time, we're a little different from the Arena Football League. When they're like 95% pass, 5% run, we're going to be more of a 50-50 game. You're going to see our offenses do a little bit more shotgun, a little bit more RPOs, or be more involved with our game. We actually use a traditional running back, which traditional running backs and linebackers are not really utilized in the arena game. Well, we're giving those young men some opportunity to get some additional film. So.
Joe McClendon is with us. Again, president and commissioner of the new National Gridiron League. So are you nervous about this? Because we've seen leagues come and go. Now, not necessarily indoor leagues, but we've seen leagues come and go. Are you nervous about this? Or is this like, no, this is planned and this is going to work?
No, I'm not nervous at all. To be honest with you, if there's nerves involved, I shouldn't be involved with it. myself, I've been in the indoor industry going on 12 years now, started as a player, moved into coaching, then into administration. So there's been quite a bit of lessons I've been able to watch and observe. I know indoor and arena football, there's been a lot of franchises come and go. And we've seen what happened last year with the Lions. I think sometimes we rush the process, and that's when we kind of get ourselves in trouble. So with us, we originally wanted to go this past season. But we had already begun to hear some of the rumblings and things going on with the Alliance. And me and my team and my investors chose just to give ourselves some additional time to make sure we can button up some things, to make sure we don't find the same fate as a lot of those other indoor, and I mean what a lot of those other leagues.
And did you learn? Did you do research on the AAF to figure out what went wrong with them, so you know that mistake isn't duplicated?
Absolutely. I think the AAF they started off on the right track, but when you really look into what the problems they had, it was just a rush. I think Ebersol was a bright young man. I think he's still going to be do great things in business wise, but it's just taking that additional time was the lesson that needed to be learned. And if you study the XFL from the first time they launched and some of the concerns Vince had, it was rushing the process. Rome wasn't built in a day. To establish an entire league, it takes time. You can't rush it. You can't skip any steps. And I think that's where some of the leagues get in trouble. They want to be up there with the NFL, but everybody don't start off that way. Sometimes you got to start at JV, you know, and work your way to varsity.
Again, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the National Gridiron League is having a league symposium and tryouts here in South Florida in Lauderdale Lakes. You can get info if you're interested in trying out at nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. What kind of skill level does someone need to have to try out this weekend?
We're just looking for players of all skill levels. We're going to give everybody opportunity at least to be seen. I think for a lot of guys, they have that in their gut who their football days have ended, but they felt like it never ended it on their terms. Well, this weekend is going to be an opportunity for those guys to come out and see if they still got something left. I won't be shy, and my coaches won't be shy. I'll let them know if they don't, you know, but at the same time, it'll be some guys that do. We signed a lot of great players. We have over 300 guys signed already, but we're still looking at another 100, 130 players for our training camp rosters. So it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for a lot of guys. I think this league is going to be great for college players in the Southeast and the Midwest who not necessarily getting those opportunities in the other leagues.
And, Joe, when I'm looking at it and talking about it, I'm thinking about the guys that got hurt their senior year in college, thinking about
Absolutely.
The kids that might have not had the grades coming out and, you know, couldn't
Absolutely.
Have the grades in college. Like, I see exactly where you're coming from. I want to ask you mm-hmm. about, like, guys with legal trouble. Where, yeah. you know, another league, they weren't allowed to play, but now this is their opportunity. Have y'all talked mm-hmm. about, that athlete that had legal trouble but still wants to play ball and still got some skills?
We did. And I think some of our guys, one or two, I think we got 5-6 guys had some legal issues, and that's why they really didn't get to end their college careers on the terms they would have liked. But to us, it really, we come in and we assess every situation individually. We look at, a lot of the particulars that may have happened, and we make the best assessment we feel on the young man's behalf and our behalf. At the same time, this is a business as well.
Yeah.
But we do provide those guys opportunities. Right now, I think we have over 40 former Division I guys signed, but at the same time, we have about 15 guys with no college experience signed, guys who had a tremendous amount of athleticism but just didn't get some of the things done, you know, at leaving the high school level, you know. So opportunity is there. It's on them to capitalize.
So what's the oldest guy that came out there and tried to show he could still do it?
I think about 33 years old, a former NFL guy and a
Take
former CFL guy. I believe Jason Goss of TCU, former defensive back, probably might be the oldest guy. But we have some notable names you guys may know, Ron Perilou, Joseph Yearby, Donnie Alexander from LSU.
Wow, Joseph Yearby, wow.
Yeah. So we got some guys that I think is going to garner some attention. And just like a guy like Yearby, man, he had a great career down in Miami. Just needs some additional film. There's no reason why he shouldn't be have opportunities at XFL, CFL, if not NFL, you know. And we would just want to give those guys some additional film. And I think the biggest thing, the biggest differentiator about from our league, and I think this is going to surprise a lot of people, even both you guys, we're going to be the first league that is minority-owned since the Negro League. I think that's a unique, a real differentiator in the sports. But at the same time, it's business, so nobody really cares too much about it. But at the same time.
business. No, but that's cool. It's a good backstory.
Yes.
But I'm like – I'm 49. I'm going to be 50 in November. I'm balding. I'm very out of shape. I ate a big bucket load of chili for lunch yesterday. And I've never played football in my life. Could you turn me into a fullback?
I can't. I'm going to put it this way. I can't turn you into that. I'm going to give you the opportunity to see if you can turn yourself into that.
I'm a full belly. Full belly. I was looking at the team name. So this is why I get so intrigued by like startup leagues. Yeah. So how did you guys come up with the names? I see on the website there's the Pennsylvania Pioneers and the Indiana Blue Bombers, the St. Louis Stampede, Mississippi Mudcats. There's like, 12 teams, I think?
It's 12 teams. Let me ask you this. Which particular name you like the most?
So I'm looking through it. First of all, I want to do it kind of regionally, and I think the closest one to us is the Atlanta Wildcats, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I'd probably be an Atlanta Wildcats fan, but I do like the Mississippi Mudcats.
That's
and it's got like the little fish, the Mudcat logo. I think that looks cool. What's your favorite?
I actually don't have a favorite.
I guess you can't say you have a favorite. You're the commissioner.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of have to stay out of that.
How do you come up with those names, though? Like, is that just sitting around in a conference room? Is that like how'd you come up with the names?
It's a mix of both. Some of those names and brands are someone we're bringing back. They're around maybe in the 80s, some around the early 2000s. So some markets had names and teams that they were familiar with, so we chose not to go against that. They already had an established fan base. And then some of the other ones was really opening up, having discussions with quite a bit of people and kind of figuring out what was going to be the best that fit the market and was going to fit what we were looking for.
Well, we wish you luck. Like I said, I love a new league, and certainly if my bookie takes gambling on it, I will be an active follower. I'm just teasing. Joe McClendon, he's the president and commissioner. It's the National Gridiron League, and again, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the National Gridiron League is having a league symposium and tryouts here in South Florida, and it's in Lauderdale Lakes. And if you want to try out, you go to nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. And I'm imagining South Florida, this will be a hotbed of potential talent for you.
Absolutely, man. I believe right now we have about 20 guys from the area already signed.
All right.
Hopefully we can find another 20 this weekend.
All right. Well, hopefully if you're listening and we're speaking to you, nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. Good luck, Joe. That was fun.
Thank you.
There you go. I love a new league. There's something about it.
It's cool.
I like looking at the names.
Yes, and the way it's approached, where the Canadian Football League, they got to hold you where you can't leave to another league as long as possible. Like, he's saying guys can get some more film so they can move up through the ranks.
I like what he said, too, with the AAF. Like, it was rushed. Like, yes. They took an extra year. They were trying to launch this year. They decided not to, take another year. So it's the Texas Bighorns, Mississippi Mudcats, Baton Rouge Redsticks, Arkansas Twisters, Kansas Capitals, St. Louis Stampede, Indiana Firebirds, Indiana Blue Bombers, Atlanta Wildcats, Pennsylvania Pioneers, Virginia Destroyers, and Virginia Iron Horses.
And now I want to tell all the people that come up to me on a regular basis and talk about their nephew, or they talk about their cousin that still plays and didn't have an opportunity, hurt his knee or whatever. Go to, what is it, www.nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. Get the information and go try out. You've been asking me about, hey, can you call somebody with the Dolphins? I'm giving you an opportunity right now to call your big-ass cousin that works out every single day of his life and runs a 4.4. You have an opportunity right now to jump back into football, get your ability on film, and see where it goes from there.
There you go. All right. We're going to talk with Aronde Gadsden in the next segment. I enjoyed that a lot. I don't know. I get intrigued by that. Aronde Gadsden, former Dolphins receiver. He can tell us what his experience was like in the Arena League, but I really want to talk Dolphins with him. So Aronde Gadsden when we come back.
Y'all got to get down to Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet, and holler at my homeboy, Eric Nunez. This amazing dealership has an amazing general manager, has an amazing team, and award-winning lineup of cars and trucks. I've seen y'all out on the road about to break your neck, about to crash, about to rear-end somebody because you're trying to look at these Chevys. Go down to Lubeck Road. You can look at them. You can drive them. They'll let you hang out in them as long as you want. You're going to want to buy one of these beautiful vehicles. Lubeck Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet will save you thousands more than any other dealer in the nation. And the craziest thing I've seen is other dealers bringing their family and friends to Eric because they can't hook their family up better than Eric can hook them up. Now, just think about that. Lou Backroad is also your Silverado headquarters. I love the Silverados. I'm a pickup truck guy. It stole my heart. You got to find new roads, but don't overpay. Why would you go anyplace else if you're in the market for a new car? Go holler at Eric. See his award-winning staff. See the award-winning line of Chevy. It's award-winning. It is beautiful down there at Lou Backroad Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Conveniently located off 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway. And trust me, I've bought two vehicles from Eric. I've seen dozens of people down there, and everybody tells me the same thing. Hey, dang, Crowder, Eric hooked me up. I said, I told you he was, and he's going to hook you up as well. 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway and online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Lou Backroad Coconut Creek Chevrolet, find new roads.
Oronde is next on Hockman and Crowder. Bob Marley you were talking about.
No, not the most in-depth lyrics.
Jamming.
Great song.
All right, we're jamming. I want to jam it with you.
Love it.
We're jamming.
Bobbing your head.
Everybody, if you can't bob your head to Bob, I can't hang with you.
This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. OG Oronde Gadsden, former Miami Dolphins receiver, is on the line. Hello, OG.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Look at you, shot out of a cannon. Josh Rosen, he started Sunday. Now, you are one of the most sure-handed receivers the Miami Dolphins has ever seen.
And you're not just kicking totally OG's agree. Butt now.
No, no, for real, yeah, right?
Totally
yeah.
Agree. Now, totally agree.
Josh Rosen was the victim of a lot of drop balls. I think Fitzpatrick was the first couple of games as well. Does that drive you crazy?
Nuts. Absolutely nuts.
And what do you do with that? Can you teach that? Can you correct that? Like, what is that?
I just want, I think, you know, some of the passes. I mean, you have to concentrate. You have to be, you know, focused, locked in on what's going on. I think for me, during the time when I played, I was in a kind of a tweener, and not a tweener as in size, but, you know, I knew Dan most of the time was going to OJ. Right, and we had a running game that we were gonna do. We were gonna force the run on you. Even when Ricky was here, we forced the run. The run was being forced. You know, like I can remember Ricky having 42 carries one time. So I knew Dan was gonna throw to OJ 90% of the time, 97% of the time. So I made the catches for me to be critical. Like flatline critical. I had to catch him because I wasn't getting but three, or maybe four on a good day. And then when Jay came in and started, I knew we weren't doing a lot anyway. You know what I'm saying? We're going to throw four to Conrad out the backfield, and the rest were going to go have to be split between three receivers. So that was tough. He'd end the day most days 15 for 18, and, you know, we'd have 220 yards or something. So just seeing them drop the ball. But I think in their mind, they're going to get more chances. You know, like you see some of the big receivers.
They are going to get more chances. There's no question they're going to get more chances. There's like two receivers on the – there's two receivers on the roster.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like if the running game was working and everything else was working, maybe not. But, you know, hey, listen, I kind of – you know, wished I played when I had more chances than as many chances they're getting, but it wasn't that way, and I don't think they think of it that way. So, I mean, but just to look, just to see the look in people's eyes after they drop a ball, they'll check their gloves, they'll jog back to the huddle. Like, I would be, you know, partly devastated if I dropped the pass.
And OG, that the drop by Parker on the 5-yard line across the middle, that's just ridiculous. But I want
that's terrible,
bro. That Preston Williams in the end zone, like what would be the
Rondé's in pain?
What would be the coaching point to that? Because that was a flat out drop by Parker, but Preston, he had it, and then the corner didn't give up on the play. Like, what would be your coaching point to Preston on that play?
Well, I tell the guys even in high school, you have to get the ball to the closest part of your body and keep it there, hold it there, if you can remember. And I always tell them about the. the probably one of one of the most famous plays in Super Bowl history. You know, the receiver for the Giants held it to his helmet. It was a catch.
Oh yeah, Eli would.
That was Tyree, David Tyree.
David Tyree.
Yeah. So and the guy on him was one of the baddest safeties in the game. He couldn't get it out. Just couldn't get it out.
Aronde
Harrison.
Aronde Gasson is with us. You always are an optimist when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I think before the season we had you on and you said 7-9 or 8-8. Have you come to the realization that this team is historically bad?
Well, listen, that was before we started this situation of rebuilding.
I think we were into the rebuild, and you had them at 7-9.
Not like this. This is like a super rebuild. This is not just a regular rebuild. We like super rebuilding. I don't want to say tanking or use any word like that because I played, Channing played, and because we were professional athletes and consummate professionals, we were getting paid to do a job. We wouldn't even think of it as that, but, you know, somebody else outside may say that. But, you know, I'm going to go because I'm going to err on the side of players, and they don't want to play bad. I'm going to go on the side and say we're rebuilding. But it wasn't this bad. We weren't getting rid of players at the time. We just didn't have any, but we weren't getting rid of players. But, I mean, you know, at this point, you got to call it is what it is. But there are teams with talent that have the same record.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
They aren't trying to move.
You know, I look at the Redskins in week six, when they come down here, it's going to be, oh, boy, it's going to be a shindig.
OG, along that line of the rebuild where the Minkah Fitzpatrick, getting rid of him, I believe he's going to be a starter. He actually played well with the Steelers on Sunday. How do you feel about the Jalen Ramsey and the Minkah where a player says, I'm upset, requests a trade, and the team trades him? How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, that should never happen. You know what I mean? If that could happen, then we should have did it a long time ago.
Telling
you. But I think, you know, the management has to I think, you know, you kind of make it kind of hard when you make it Jalen Ramsey not the same player, one. And you know, obviously, you know, Jalen has more antics than Minkah did. But, you know, they were – I think Rashard Jones maybe a few years ago was like he wanted to get traded too, but he wanted, you know, to get a few dollars. And he always kept it professional. He played. He didn't, you know, make a big fuss, you know, in the media or anything about it. I just think, you know, some people are different places in their career and things happen. Now I could see them getting rid of Minkah and getting the pick, but the Tunzel one is the one that kind of, you know, gets me. Even if we're trying to rebuild and start anew and get a quarterback next year, you want to have somebody to block, like, you know what I mean? Like, and to get rid of that cornerstone position on the O-line is kind of, now that kind of made me less optimistic, if you would go.
You got that Kirkland O-line.
Yeah, I got that Kirkland O-line.
So Aronde and I, for people that listen to the show, Aronde Gadsden, he's been coming on the radio with me for years. Aronde and I have a policy. If you go to a party and there's Kirkland snacks out there, you got to hit it. Like, you just, right? Like, maybe a half, right? Maybe a half, but yeah, then you got to hit it.
Yeah. Like, I was to a little, you know, a Dolphin cookout, and they had some Kirkland vodka. I only stayed till halftime. They made it in the punch, so that got me to halftime. If I had to mix it like Kirkland and tonic, I probably would have left right away because I knew the outcome of the game. But I stayed and watched till halftime, and then I went on home.
Well, I texted you a couple of days ago from Yahoo Finance, 25 best Kirkland products that you should enjoy at Costco. Number one, just give me your quick thoughts. Number one, Kirkland animal crackers.
I would call my mom and tell her I went out of third grade.
You demand a trade.
I don't want to go to that school anymore. I'm out. I'm going to plantation.
Number two on the Yahoo Finance list is Kirkland bacon.
No, that's a tough one because, you know, I'm a bacon guy. You know, bacon makes anything taste better, but if I got a nice cheeseburger going and I bite into it, and I find out you got curling bacon. I don't want it. You just wasted your condiment.
Right.
I don't want it.
Right. I'm with you. No, I'm with
you. Can't mess up bacon.
I'm with him. Then why not just go with Oscar Mayer? I mean, how much could you save on the Kirkland bacon?
You know, even if you tricked me and said it was turkey bacon, I'd be like, all right, okay.
Kirkland coffee pods. You got those K-Cups. They've got Kirkland coffee pods.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you coffee people can tell the difference between a good coffee and a bad coffee. That's got to be worse than decaf. I mean, a Kirkland pod?
No. Yeah, that sounds like you're asking for trouble. Yeah.
Pencil shavings.
You're trying to get a day off. I go in that office tomorrow with some, say, hey, ladies, you know, because there's a bunch of ladies that work in the office. I'm going to make the coffee this morning. And I put some Kirkland pods in there. Oh, I'm suspended. Don't come back tomorrow.
Right, yeah, no, and that's suspension worthy. You can't even appeal that, right?
Yeah, but that, you know, look, that might be an idea. Okay, all right.
How about this one? On the Yahoo Finance site, they suggest Kirkland energy shots instead of 5-hour energy. I mean, now that seems like you're playing with fire, doesn't it?
All right. That's an oxymoron. I don't think you get no energy from a Kirkland energy pod.
No, they said 5-minute energy.
I think it drains the energy.
Right, you want just 5 minutes? You want like how much for 1 minute? How much for just one rib?
One rib. Oh, no.
Kirkland Italian sparkling water instead of San Pellegrino.
Oh, come on. How much does that cost, you think? You go to the concession stand and you see it up there, Pellegrino, probably about $3. Kirkland sparkling water, about 75 cents.
You got to wonder why.
Let's get that.
Kirkland razor blades.
Oh, no. I don't want Kirkland razor blades. I would just go to the barbershop just to get a shave. I just need to. I'm going to the barbershop every morning. Do I pass it coming to work? I'm going to stop. No way you're using Kirkland razor blades. And some people out there may enjoy using Kirkland products. Listen, if it works for you, I'm all with it. I'm just saying, for Hawk and I think we're going to buy
it. And butter knife sharp.
Yeah. Might as well use a scissor. All right, there you go. Rondé Gadsden, one of the greatest receivers in Dolphins history. Love this dude. Thank you, OG.
Hey, thanks for having me. U School, what you got? What you got, U School? What you got?
4-1 going into the bye week. We got Miami Christian. Yeah, you know. And we still top 10.
What's going on at Heritage?
We got the same record, 4-1. We just coming off the bye week, getting our district play. We played North Miami Beach on Friday. It's going to be a tough one, but we're back at home. We had 3 games away plus a bye, so it's a month away from home. So the guys are excited getting back, but it's just like anything else, man. We had a bye last week, getting these guys back in order. It's a fight, man. It's like school on Monday.
Oh, gee, though, y'all, you make fun of our opponents, North Miami Beach. It's 17 kids that live there.
That's a district game. I don't know what to tell you, sir. I can't make them up. You know, we go non-district, we go away. You know, unlike you guys. I mean, we went to D.C., played the ninth team in the country, pretty good team. We took an L. They beat us. They wouldn't know almost if we had made a kick. They beat us.
Oh yeah, and no, OG. If we play out the state, Coach Crowder not making it. I got too many jobs. Y'all better have somebody else call this defense. I gotta work.
Hey, listen. Harris had to fly to the game. He didn't even come with us. It was terrible. And we played Trinity in Jacksonville. See, that's okay. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
And guess what? Because we lost to D.C., we had to ride the bus to Jacksonville. It was terrible.
Aronde, though, never turned down a good game. He doesn't matter if it puts the record at stake. They will face the best competition. I think he's telling you, Crowder, that your school doesn't do that.
Oh, where you get that from that conversation? We're just talking some ball.
Hey, look, he pulled it out. I didn't say it. He pulled it out.
All right. See you, Rondé.
Listening comprehension.
Go get some Kirkland snacks.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Yeah.
It's
crazy on the text machine how people cape up for Kirkland. People love Kirkland. They hate hearing any blasphemous talk about Kirkland. But I'm telling you, go to a park. Like, it's a discount brand, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I know Costco costs money to have a membership, but isn't Kirkland a discount brand?
Yes.
I believe it is.
No, you don't have to believe. That's what they do. When you, like you said, when you try to multiply a already established brand and put another name on it, it's generic. It's
right.
Discount.
It's a discount
brand. They do it with medicine.
I'm not telling you that it's no, I am telling you. It's
yes.
Not as good as Oscar Mayer bacon. I've never had Kirkland bacon. I'm telling you it's not as good as Oscar Mayer bacon. Can't be.
You want Viagra? I got Tiagra. It's half the price. That's what Kirkland is. Everybody knows that.
Ooh, what happened to your face? You're all cut up. Kirkland razor.
Sharp as a
butterknife. Oh, it was someone used it? No, right out the pack. Is Costco a sponsor?
I hope not.
All right,
I love Costco.
Let me talk about Caneswear. Now this is the creme de la creme. This is the primo stuff here. Caneswear. We were in Davie yesterday. We did the show at Twin Peaks. Caneswear is right there on University Drive in Davie. They've got the largest selection of items from Adidas and other name brands, including all the team's sideline apparel, hundreds of different T-shirts and jerseys and polos and hoodies and hats in all sizes for men, women, kids, babies, even pets. If you bleed orange and green like I do, Caneswear in Davie is the place for you. They are your tailgating headquarters. You got a bye week for the Hurricanes this week, but then you want to get ready. Is it Virginia or Virginia Tech the next game? Do you remember, Solana?
I believe it's Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. You want to get your tailgating stuff ready to go. Tents, chairs, tables, flags, decals, magnet license plates, sunglasses, tattoos. They will get you ready for game days. Caneswear, it's the only place to get brands like Adidas, Columbia, Starter, Dime Life, Hook and Tackle, CW exclusives, all under one roof. They got an amazing selection. If you want Miami Hurricanes merchandise, they've got you covered. I was there yesterday and the week before that. I just tell you, it's just like a nice place. Not only is all the Canes merchandise around, but everyone's in there is pretty much a Canes fan. So you're talking shop. It's just it's a great place. And if you're a Dolphins fan, there's no need to feel left out. They've got a huge selection of Dolphins items for men, women, and kids. So you got to get on over to Caneswear, 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and they're always open online at caneswear.com. Caneswear, the spot where Miami fans shop. We went a little long there with Aronde, but we had to break down the Kirkland stuff. I thought it was pretty important. In the next segment, you will hear the Don Bailey Jr. line from last Saturday's Hurricanes Central Michigan broadcast. We will do that next on Hochman and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.